Good morning. Welcome to Celebration Church. Let's all stand together as we join our voices in reciting the Apostles' Creed and then remain standing as we offer up prayers. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, you are the bread of life, the one who feeds our souls and satisfies our deepest hunger. As we gather around your word today, we ask you to still our restless hearts and open our minds to your truth. Where we are burdened by guilt, remind us of your forgiveness. Where we are hardened by bitterness, soften us with your mercy. Where we are empty or weary, fill us with your spirit and renew our strength. Prepare us, O Lord, to not only hear your word, but to live it out, speaking truth and love, forgiving as we have been forgiven, and by walking in the way of Christ's sacrificial love. Nourish us today, so that when we leave this place, we may be bread for a hungry and hurting world. In the name of Jesus Christ, our living bread, we pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Good to have you with us here this morning. Our TV's not working. I feel like I don't exist because I can't see myself. I do exist. All right. This morning, reading from the Gospel of John, starting at chapter 6. And verse 35, and then we jump to verse 41 to 51. And then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. As it is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father, referring to himself. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. There's an old saying, you are what you eat. We usually think of that in physical terms. If we eat junk food, we'll feel like junk. If we eat good, healthy food, we'll start to feel healthy. But Jesus takes it much deeper. He says, you are what you eat spiritually. In our gospel reading, Jesus makes this radical statement, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And this isn't just a metaphor he's using. It wasn't just a cute sermon illustration, it's reality. Jesus is saying, if you feed on me, you will live. If you don't, you will spiritually starve. And when we feed on him, it changes us. It shows in how we speak, shows in how we interact with others, shows on how we forgive, shows in how we love. Looking at the New Testament, in the epistles in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, Paul writes to the church, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. It's okay to get angry. We're not supposed to sin when we do it. And he's basically saying, get over it. Get over it quickly. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. That's why I prefer to get angry at night. It gives me a whole day yet to get over it. They're really smoking his own. And don't give the devil a foothold, because that's what happens. When you get angry and bitter and nasty and you won't let go of it, you're just opening yourself up to Satan. And he goes on, he says, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. So in Ephesians here, he's saying that those of us who've been made new in Christ should speak truthfully, forgiving radically, and walk lovingly. In other words, being fed by Jesus means living like Jesus. Paul writes here, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully with your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Why start with avoiding falsehoods? Because honesty is the foundation to any relationship, especially in the body of Christ. Paul says in the church, we don't just survive, we thrive as one group, one body. Feeding on the bread of life gives us courage to speak truth in love. And that's the challenge, speaking truth in love. We like to speak truth, but often it's not done in love. In fact, usually when we go psycho on somebody, we feel perfectly justified because it's the truth. You're a big, fat, stinking jerk. Everybody knows it. And you're a jerk. And we get mad and we start talking and justifying ourselves because what we're saying is, in fact, true. But it's supposed to be truth in love. Brutal honesty is not helpful. If you see someone who's really ugly, you don't come up to them and say, dude, man, are you ugly? It might be true, but that's not very nice. Brutal truth can be very harsh. We feel justified because it's the truth. But it's not enough to just tell the truth. Paul goes further, and he says those who are fed by Jesus live differently in their relationships, especially when it comes to forgiveness. He continues, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Why is that important? Because if you allow yourself to get close to people, they will hurt you. Why are you surprised when people hurt you? Can you imagine going to a football game and different players come up and start talking to you? Man, it's not fair. They're hitting me every time I hold the ball. They keep knocking me over. He's like, what are you, nuts? This is the game. The life, game of life, you get knocked around. It's the reality. You say, well, I don't like it. Well, it is what it is. People will hurt you. Why be surprised by that? People try to protect themselves by not getting close to people. It's an interesting verse here in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Because we're convinced that if someone wounds us, they are in fact not our friend. That's not what it says. Faithful are the wounds of our friend. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Someone always kissing up to you is not your friend. All right? A true friend will deal with you honestly. And sometimes that's painful. If you have a friend who never wounds or insults you in some way, you probably aren't very close to them. It's just the reality of it. Don't freak out about it. Learn to flow with it. Learn to walk in forgiveness and kindness. That's how you prepare by being kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. You get close enough to me, I'm going to tick you off. Hard to imagine. Mr. Mint Jacket. Yes, I'll hurt you. You get close enough to my wife, she'll say something that will insult you. You get close enough to anybody, they will hurt you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Don't freak out and try and protect yourself so you never. And so a lot of people do. They shield themselves off. They don't get close to anybody because they don't want to get hurt. But then you're living this artificial life, and it's not healthy. This is where it gets tough. Forgiveness sounds nice in theory until you actually have to do it. It's hard to do. Why? Because we don't want to forgive people. We want to stay angry. But Jesus teaches us to stop, to let go. Don't hang on to stuff. Get over it. Forgive. You have been forgiven of much. We just prayed, forgive us our sins, trespasses, fancy word there, as we forgive those who trespass or sin against us. In other words, God will only forgive you as much as you're willing to forgive somebody else. So why do I want to forgive that person? Well, it's going to suck to be you because you're not going to get forgiven. Run that math in your head. Where does that put you? In a very, very bad place. Don't hang on to stuff. Forgiveness is hard. It's difficult to let go. We know we had a Sergeant Greg Stubbe here on the 4th of July weekend. If you missed that, he's coming back on the first week in September. Looking forward to that. He was a special forces soldier in Afghanistan, and not only a special forces soldier, but he trained other soldiers, the Green Berets, to let them into the special forces. He was part of the medical unit. He was the medic, if you will. And these guys are pretty highly trained for being soldiers. They really are basically PAs. It's the same training as a physician's assistant. They're fairly well trained, and then he has to train others. He told the stories. Remember, there was this guy from Texas, and he didn't like him. Didn't know why, just didn't like him. Big guy from Texas, can't stand him. And it was just bitter and nasty to him. It's just awful. And anyway, when he was in Afghanistan, his vehicle got hit with an IED, blew it to smithereens, and him along with it. He wakes up, his foot is blown off. He's got wounds everywhere. His intestines are literally laying in the sand. He's picking them up and sticking them back in to his body. I can't even imagine. I just die quick, you know. But a tough guy. And they're all freaking out because you can't call for the medic. He's the medic. What are we going to do? So they quick radio and they said, okay, relax. Hang in there. The medic's on his way. And when he lands, the medic comes over to him and he looks up. Guess who it is? The boy from Texas. And he looks at him and goes, no hard feelings, dude. He said, no, it's cool. He saved his life. It's amazing what they can do. He put his foot back on and he's, you know, alive and well today. And then he wanted to go and set it right with the guy. But it took him a year and a half just to get out of the hospital. By the time he got out, he found out the guy had been killed in combat. He never got a chance to make it right. He just carries the burden of that. That's an icky thing. Don't go to your grave. Let others go to their grave with you full of bitterness and unforgiveness. Why must we forgive? Because we've been forgiven more than anyone could ever repay. When we feed on Christ, bitterness loses its grip. And by the way, if you have a hard time forgiving people, you obviously have no idea how big of a deal it was that God forgave you. And we all think we're amazing, right? I'm that bad. I'm not bad as my neighbor. He's a real jerk. You know, but you know, if you really are honest, we would all be blown away by how much we have been forgiven. We have received an incredible gift. And because of that, we are implored to give to others. Paul continues. He calls us to something even higher, a whole way of living that reflects Christ himself. He says, be imitators of God and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Walking in love means we let love spill out into every corner of our lives, how we treat people who irritate us, how we speak to our spouse when we're tired and frustrated. Don't raise your hand if that's you. How we treat the coworker who annoys us, how we serve people who cannot repay us. Again, Paul says, you can be mad. It's fine to be mad. Just don't sin when you do it. And by the way, I am stunned, shocked, and mortified. I guess I'm not shocked. People are people. But considering who some of the people are, very faithful, loving, kind people. When they get mad and mad at their own wives, curse like truck drivers. Some of you wives, when you get mad at your husband, swear like a sailor. I mean, just not to insult truck drivers and sailors, but someone's got a real body mouth problem. You know, and we say, well, he brings it out in me. She brings it out of me. Oh, man, the number of times I've heard couples say that. I can't stay with him anymore. Why? He brings out the worst in me. No, they don't. Nobody brings out the worst in you. They show you the worst in you. I can't work with these people anymore. I need a new job. Why? Because they bring out the worst in me. When the worst comes out of you, we don't look at us. We look over here. Why did it happen? It's their fault. It's that guy's fault. It's his fault. And we look outwardly. No, it's showing you. That's the real you. But we don't want to admit that. When ugly comes out of us, it's because there's ugly in us. We need to pray. Ask God to help me when I get mad not to lose it. Don't blame other people. It's not other people why you can't hold a job. It's not other people why you can't be successful with your spouse. It's not other people. It's not your mother-in-law that brings out the demon in you. Just there's a demon in you. Be nice, for heaven's sakes. When we look at the people in our lives, do they see that you've been fed by Jesus? Because if so, it changes us. Or do they see someone still hungry for control, revenge, and validation? In our gospel reading, Jesus reminds us that he is the living bread. And unlike ordinary bread that keeps us full for just a few hours and then we hunger again, Jesus sustains us for eternity. Every time we come to the Lord's table, which we'll be doing in just a moment, we're reminded that, one, we are forgiven because of what Christ has done. We are one family in faith. And God is sending us out then to be bread for a hungry world. So when you walk out those doors today, you'll eat lunch, but then you'll get hungry again later. But if you truly feed on Christ, you'll carry something that doesn't fade. Truth, forgiveness, and love. So here's our challenge this week. Speak truth, but do it in kindness. It's okay to be honest with people. Don't be mean and harsh when you do it. Forgive where you've been holding on to pain. I know you don't want to. Nobody wants to. But we need to forgive as we have been forgiven. And love to the point that it costs you something. I talked about this last week. You know, some people complain that their friends aren't as kind back to them as I am to them, because they're measuring everything. You know, everything's got to be balanced. No, don't do that. In fact, Jesus actually taught us, and I mentioned this last week, or the week before. I wasn't here last week. Becky was here. Apparently, they don't care. I was trying to get some applause for you. Yeah. There you go. Now they like you. For a minute there, they could have cared less. Oh, my gosh. But Jesus actually taught us to be nice to people who cannot pay you back. So stop this equal stuff. I got to be nice to this friend, But I'm not going to be friends with them because they're not equally back nice to me. No, you're doing this all wrong. Be nice to people who can't be nice to you. If you can find friends who always invite you to dinner after you invited them to dinner, Jesus said, whoopee stinking do. My translation, but he's basically saying, "What? Who cares? What matters is when you invite someone to dinner who cannot invite you back. When you're kind to someone else who cannot be kind to you. This is living out the gospel. You see, well, that kind of hurts. Well, yeah. But we're supposed to die to ourselves. We're not supposed to be living for ourselves. We're supposed to be living for others. Christ died for us so that we can in turn die for others. I'm talking not physically, but spiritually. When we are fed by Jesus, we don't just live full lives. We become full lives. And then we become bread for others. As you have received, Jesus said, freely you have received, so now freely give. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper right now as our ushers get ready to serve us. This is when we reflect on why we are here. Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. His body was broken so he could be made whole. His blood was shed so we could have the forgiveness of sins. This is what we're supposed to remember when we take communion. But the Bible says before we do this, we should pause and examine ourselves. Where are we at with all these things? All right? So with those words in mind, let's bow our heads as I pray a prayer of forgiveness over all of us. Heavenly Father, before we partake of the bread and the cup this morning, and in obedience to the scriptures, we pause now to examine ourselves. Lord, if we've sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, something we did that we should not have done, something that we should have done that we just didn't do, if we haven't loved others as we love ourselves, if we hang on and separate ourselves from people who are not, we think, worthy of our own love, forgive us. Help us to think humbly of ourselves. Help us to sacrifice as you have sacrificed. We pray as we take communion now that you will forgive us of all of our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. While heads are bowed and people are reflecting, maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, you know, I've never done any of the stuff that you guys are talking or singing about. Well, you can right now. In your own words, just whisper out to Jesus, say, Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sins. And he can take the weight of the world off of you this morning. You say that's all there is to it. It's quite frankly, yeah. He's willing to forgive us no matter our past. What we have to do is believe and ask. Amen.